Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in Exodus. Yeah, we're doing a little side trip here on some things. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little insight maybe into what my future plans are. We just finished Revelation. Spent quite a time doing that. And what I'm anticipating doing is that at some point in the near future, it may be another month or so down the road, that we're going to start working through some Psalms. Yeah, some Psalms. I'm actually planning on doing Psalms as a Bible study this fall. And so if you want to join us in the Bible study, we do that on Monday evening. We do it online. And so trying to think maybe the best way to y'all find it. Well, if you listen to the podcast right now, you can probably drop me a note somehow via that podcast. And I'll tell you how to join that class. It's actually quite simple to do. But I think we'll probably start Psalms. I don't know if we'll actually go all the way through the Psalms and do everything. Maybe we will. You know, that could take a while. But, you know, I'm pretty convinced that there are certain portions of Scriptures, a lot of Scriptures, as a matter of fact, that you can take and teach the entirety of the Scripture beginning there. For instance, you can begin with Genesis and teach the entirety of Scripture. I believe you could begin with the book of Romans, okay? Teach the entirety of Scripture. You can take any of the Gospels and teach the entirety of Scripture. And what I mean by that is you're beginning here, begin at that point, but you can cover everything that's in it. And so I think the Psalms are like that. You can cover, and there's a lot of things in the Psalms that we probably don't know are actually in there. But for now, we're going through this passage in Exodus because there's something that just so struck me. And just, you know, reading through a portion of this recently. So I thought I'd share it with us. We didn't get there yet. So remember where we are. We're in the 14th chapter. The children of Israel have come out of their slavery, but they're still in Egypt, and they haven't escaped yet. And we left off in the previous episode, in verse 10, where it says, "And Pharaoh drew near the sons of Israel, looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened, so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord." So Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and they saw that the Egyptians were coming, and they're freaking out, the sons of Israel. They're very frightened, and they cried out to God. Well, that is great. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when you have a time like this, when the enemies come against you, you cry out to God. But I want you to pay close attention to what we're about to learn about what they did and what they said and what the attitude of their heart was. And then I want us to pay attention to how Moses responded to this. And then probably in the next episode, I want us to pay attention to see how God responded to this, okay? This is great. It really is good. So in verse 11, we continue. "Then they said to Moses," okay, these are the people. These are the sons of Israel who are frightened, who are crying out to God because they see Pharaoh coming and they realize that they're trapped. "So they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?'" And you go, what? Moses is the one that brought forth the word of the Lord, that became the deliverer of the people, and his faithfulness, he and Aaron, and their obedience with going before Pharaoh, as God had told him to do. All these plagues at the hand of God that came through Aaron and through Moses to the point to where Pharaoh released them. And now what are they doing? Yes, they're crying out to God and they're blaming somebody. Is that not what we have such a tendency to do? The cry out to God, that's great. That's wonderful. Seriously, I'm quite serious, but that's wonderful. Cry out to God. But then they turn around and they have to point the finger. They have to have somebody to blame. So, and they do it. I mean, there's three or four of these things, maybe more than that. Just listen to this. They say, "Hey, is it because there's no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to the wilderness to die? We were dying in Egypt. Now you've brought us out here in the wilderness with this promise of going into a promised land that God had talked to you about. Now you've brought us out here. We're going to die out here. Is it because we weren't dying in Egypt?" But then they continue, "Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Why are you bringing us out of that land? Now, remember, they were enslaved there. But how quickly we forget, no? How quickly we romanticize something that previously had been horrific. Later on in the account, you see them complain to Moses, well, you're the one that brought us out of that. We had all these wonderful onions, leeks, and garlic. And yeah, you'd been enslaved for 400 years. That's how quickly we will turn. And so now they're blaming Moses forthright. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? They continue, verse 12. Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? What? Now they're coming along. They're saying, you're the one that made us do this. Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Didn't we tell you that we wanted to remain slaves? Didn't we tell you that we wanted to serve the Egyptians? Well, no, not really. And they say, is this not the word that we spoke to you? What I suspect is going on here is that you have got a minority that are saying this. You've actually got plants from Egypt themselves, the Egyptians themselves, that went out with the people of the Lord. And they're rabble-rousers. They're seeking to cause disturbance. But they're saying it forthrightly. You know, got these loud voices. You know, we told you to leave us alone. We wanted to serve the Egyptians. Well, listen to this. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And, you know, we sit there and go, man, there's no way we would ever do this. We'd never act that way. Slow down a little bit there. Hold the horses. How often have we looked at situation and circumstance and our eyes have been taken away from the promises of God? Our eyes have been taken away from the Most High God himself, and we put our eyes up on the challenge, upon the situation, upon the tribulation, the turmoil, the persecution. And then we say, oh, we'd have been so much better. If we'd just done this right here, we wouldn't be experiencing this. How often have we done that? So again, just listen to what they said. They said, were there no graves for us in Egypt? Okay. Why have you dealt with us in this way? Didn't we tell you we'd rather stay there with it and serve the Egyptians? Why didn't you just leave us alone? It had been better for us to serve them than to die in the wilderness. You could tell their frustration. And, you know, I think Moses understood because of what he said in this last verse of the day, 13th verse. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. And you know, we're probably aware of that, but do you see the context of it? Moses didn't take offense to what they were saying. He just let it fall right off of him. And he declared forthrightly, do not fear. He realized they were being driven by fear. He realized they were responding by fear. We would do well to walk in that way with one another. Sometimes people say things just because they're scared and they're fearful. I mean, many times I've done the same thing. You respond out of fear. Moses says, don't fear. Stand by, folks. See the salvation of the Lord. See what he will accomplish for you today. And then he told him, these Egyptians you see right here, the ones you see today, you're never going to see them again. Forever. Forever, which tells you those Egyptians right there are not going to be in the same place in eternity, the rest of us. And then Moses closes with this, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Is that not a great thing? Is that not a great way to correct? We perhaps have been aware of that, but folks, there's something else that's about to be said. But we'll have to look at that in the next episode. Don't read ahead. I'll see you next time. Bless you. Goodbye.